Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Hey, real privilege to be able to speak this morning. As Jake says, we're wrapping up our series in Thoughts and Prayers. It's been a great series so far, hasn't it? Three people liked it. That's good. It's just so precious to really focus in on the power of prayer and how important prayer is in our relationship with God. For each one of us, though, at some point, I think a lot of us, at maybe numerous points actually in our lives, we've ended up asking this simple question, which goes a little like this. What is God's will for my life? Right? Hands up. Who's asked that question before? It's a good question to ask, right? Great question to ask. And it's actually a question I think that most of us, all of us rather, should be asking that question. What is God's will for my life? You know, for me, that question became really significant whenever I had this encounter with God in my late teens, early 20s, and I knew I needed to give my life wholeheartedly to God. That was sort of the question that really formed a lot of my decisions moving forward. What is God's will for my life? And if you know who you know me and my character, I like to do things at 100% and all in, no holes barred. So for me, I quit my job, sold everything I had, and went to Bible college. And it was really a significant moment in my life where I wanted to know more about Him. I wanted to know more about His will for my life. At Bible college, I met Sarah, we got married, then we moved to New Zealand, and sure enough, I ended up here at Crossroads as one of the pastors. But I remember during that time that question, what is God's will for my life, was something that was so pivotal in how I made decisions and how I moved forward. And I wanted to live completely all in for Him, 100%. Now, I wouldn't be telling the truth if I stood up here and say that everything has been perfect along the way. Of course it's not. I'm human and I make mistakes. But my heart's desire is always to be, to live 100% all for Jesus. And I think it's an important question for all of us just to ponder on. You know, have you ever gotten on an airplane and you didn't really care what the destination was? Well, no. Who does that? That's not a trick question. Like, we don't do those sorts of things. We want to know where we're going in life, right? We want to know what the end destination is. But I think sometimes, if we're honest, if we really look at our lives, we may not have a destination in mind. We're just sort of coasting from one day to the next. I guess any old route will do. You know, and I feel like a lot of people live that way. No end goal really in mind. No destination. Just take whatever road opens next. I'm a free spirit. But as I look at Scripture and the way that God designed us, I believe we were created with an end in mind. With an end in mind. The Greek in the Bible is described as telos. And in the Bible, that's a big concept, all right? It means meaning complete, mature, full-grown, accomplished. So Matthew 4:48, it says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and He has a goal in mind for us to be complete as your Father in heaven is complete. So if I ask the question, what is God's will for my life? That it's good for us to think through that, but also to think, what's the end goal? And I believe that in saying that, for each and every one of us, that we should consider this, if you will, as universal understanding of what God's will is for us as His people. That applies to all of us, no matter who you are. Universal human understanding of God's will. Okay? This is God's will for our life. Then each of us in our life will have specific avenues which God has for us to journey through. So for all of humanity, there's these certain universal plans that God has that He describes in His word for us. And then each one of us, God's Spirit, by the leading of His Spirit, will have individual paths for us to take. And I think for us this morning, you know, like me, I'm married to Sarah, all right? But God has a plan for all husbands, right? We see that in Scripture. But He does have something specific for me in regarding my bride, Sarah. God has something universal for all parents, okay? But He has something specific for me regarding my own children as well. Do you know what I mean? Are you with me? Whatever your calling is, your vocation in life, whatever you find yourself doing for a job or what you spend most of your time doing, there's some specific understandings that God's will be for you in your life in this moment right now. And I should say this, I've said this before, I truly believe as followers of Jesus Christ, one of the overarching will that God has for us is to preach the gospel to all nations, to all people. That's our role as followers of Jesus, amen? But I wanted to share to you today as we look at this series and thoughts and prayers, more details around what I would consider another side of the God's universal will for people, for everybody. And so by sharing in this universal sense, I think that this morning there's going to be something for each and every one of us by the power of God's Spirit to be able to apply this to our lives. And my prayer is that we can specifically do that to our own lives. Ready for this morning? All right, in order for us to do that, we need to look at God's Word. So if you've got your Bible, then I encourage you to open it to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18. And it says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Wonderful verses, aren't they? I reckon we should say that again, but this time we're going to say it together, right? Let's do it together. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All right, so don't miss that last line. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's why it's important for us to understand that this is God's will for our life. We have three universal commands in these three verses. And in the Greek, it's described as imperatives. And these imperative moods, they mean that they are commandments. Okay? This is what we're to do. And really, what we're doing is with this is we're giving a response to God because of God and what He's done for us by sending His Son Jesus. We simply respond by these three imperatives, all right? One in verse 16, one in verse 17, and one in verse 18. I'm keeping it real simple this morning, all right? But notice this, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It doesn't say it might be. It doesn't say if you're lucky. It's going to be for you. No, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is a universal understanding for all humanity. This is God's will for you. Now, notice it says God's will in Christ Jesus for you. Now, it's important. And we live in a day and age where people want to divorce these concepts completely away from Jesus. They want to run it in a way that says, I can do this by myself. All right, I'm going to be someone who has joy. I'm going to be someone who's connected always. I'm going to be someone who can give thanks. And we try to do these things divorced from Jesus, separated from Jesus. But the Scripture tells us that this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So it is about who Jesus is and what He's done for us, right? And we can try to do these things separated from God. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe that is foolish and it has no foundation. You know, a lot of people want to grab these three commandments and live this way, but we can't really do that outside of Jesus if we're honest. Because of Jesus and who He is and how He lived the perfect life, how He died on the cross because of our failures, He died in our place, He rose again, He conquered death, He ascended back to heaven and He's coming back again, amen? Seated at the right hand of God. All of these things are in response to the work of Jesus. You with me? His person and the work of Jesus. People are going to try to do these things by ourselves, but we fall short. So I want to ask you, first and foremost, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you living under His authority to what He teaches in Scripture? Are we what Scripture describes it as? Are we abiding in the vine of Christ? And if you're saying yes, then ask yourself the question, if I'm living in such a way that proves that I'm abiding in Jesus, does my life suggest that I am abiding in Jesus? You got to ask yourself the question, because for me, I've been around church long enough and I see people who say, I believe in Jesus, I am in Christ, but they act completely different to that. We're starting deep pretty early on in the sermon, aren't we? But they're choosing in a way to live their lives that doesn't line up to how Jesus has laid out for us in Scripture. And you'd say, oh, but I believe in Jesus. But then at the same time, you're not following the way He teaches, or you're not abiding in the vine of who He is. So I guess the question is, are we really in Christ? And that's a question for us to ponder this morning, because in God's Word, it tells us we don't get saved by doing good works, right? We get saved through the work of Jesus. And then often what we do in life is we use Jesus' name to sort of wriggle out of hard things in our life. But if we're going to use Jesus' name and God's grace in a way that gets us out of doing things that we shouldn't do, then are we really aligning to what Christ teaches? How does that portray to the world who Jesus is? Would that make us terrible witnesses? To say that we're in Christ, but then you're not a nice person? That you say you're in Christ, but you continually walk outside the teachings of Jesus that He speaks on. It's a problem, isn't it? It's a problem. How is the church today representing Jesus? How is the church today representing Jesus? Now, anytime I hear a preacher stand at the front and say things like this, in my heart, I often just start repenting. I do. I start turning back to God and saying, you know, I've been walking with Jesus long enough to know that there's not a day goes by that I don't need to repent to Jesus. There's not a day that goes by that I don't need to acknowledge that something that I've failed at, something I've been needing to tend to, something that I've allowed to fester, some actions that I've done in that day that are just not right when we bring them under the authority of Jesus. You know, I get convicted when we're asked questions like that. But you know what that proves, is if that's you as well? That proves that you are a child of the King. And I pray that was for you. That we take a moment just to take stock of where we're at, and are we truly living in such a way that represents Jesus? If we're going to say that we want God's will for our life, are we living in Jesus? And maybe some of you are like, well, I'm a Christian. I've been at Crossroads for years, for 100 years. Maybe our response should be this. Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it I that needs to change some things in our lives? Do you remember that? That came from the disciples, right? When Jesus says, one of you will betray me. And even though there was only one guy who had it out for Jesus, and that was Judas, they all said, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Judas was the only guy who had schemes against Jesus, but all of them were like, is it I? Is it me? And do you know what that suggests? A teachable spirit, doesn't it? Someone that's willing to say, God, what in my life do I need to change to be more like you? I pray that that's what we're listening with this morning, a teachable spirit that God can help us to see what we might need to adjust in our lives. This is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. That's the first thing. The second thing I want to notice is three different things. So verse 16, verse 17, and verse 18. You'll see similar themes. Look at what it says. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing in everything, and give thanks. Notice these things. Always, without ceasing, in everything. Do you see that? So this is not something you do once in a while. This is what we're called to do. Always. Do you know what always means? Always. Crazy. But notice the first thing. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. You see, because of who Jesus is, because of what Jesus has done for us, joy is the human response to the finished work of Jesus. Why? Because God's love is so powerful. God's redemption is so amazing. The fact that Jesus Christ would come on a rescue mission for me, for you, is absolutely mind-blowing. And the only proper response is joy. Joy. Are we joyful people? I beg to differ. In 2007, quarterfinal match in the Rugby World Cup between New Zealand and France, it brought about pain and heartache for the nation of New Zealand. With a poor refereeing decision, might I add, with a famous missed forward pass, it meant that France went on to win the game 2018. And the pain in those faces was real. He's so sad. And that pain probably represented most of New Zealand at the time, right? Am I right? Yeah, good. For those who didn't say no, you lived under a rock, I'm sure, at that point. But let's talk about 2011, because I'm sure you were saying, Ruben, weren't you talking about joy? I am talking about joy. Let's talk about 2011, where New Zealand then meets France again, but this time in the final of the World Cup. Poor Aaron Cruden gets injured, and up steps Stephen Rex Donald from Papakura, New Zealand, also known as Beaver, who then goes on to score the winning penalty for New Zealand to win the Rugby World Cup in 2011. I'm sure at that moment the joy was like no other, right? Was it? Be honest with me, church. Was it really joyful? It was. And that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm sure if we were to reenact that moment, that final whistle was blown, there'd be a lot of you standing, celebrating, and, I don't know, belly bumping each other and high-fiving and stuff that you do. And you know, I love sport. There's no denying that. I absolutely love sport. You can ask my family what it's like when I watch football. It's chaos. I love sport. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But the challenge that I've always had is this. That when we experience joy in the things of this world, we often show undignified emotion, right? And sometimes it's crazy. It is. Things like lifting our hands and shouting. What does that look like? Looks like worship. Looks like worship. And that's what I want to say. That if you're lifting your hands in a rugby game, or if you're lifting your hands in a concert to show your support to your favorite artist, and you're filled with joy, put in whatever it is, you know? You've heard good news. We celebrate, we high-five, we get excited, we lift our voices. But then when it comes to worshiping Jesus, we just don't do things like that. Why is that? Why is that? Because I believe we're missing the point of what it is to have true joy in Jesus. Now, before you start writing your email for tomorrow morning's complaint department, and you're like, well, the only way I worship isn't by lifting my hands. I'm not saying that. Don't miss what I'm saying here. The point is this. If we rejoice truly in the Lord, then I believe that it is so important for us to be more excited about that than the things of this world. No matter how you do it. And you might say to me, when I watch rugby, I cross my arms. And you know what? That's absolutely fine, but I believe Jesus deserves a bit more than crossing our arms. If you're in Christ and you love God, then we are meant to be the most joyful people there is. Come on, church. Joy really does speak a lot about our relationship with Jesus. It really does. Because I believe this with all my heart, that if you understand who you are in Christ and what King Jesus has done for you, then the only response is joy, pure joy, undignified joy. David danced in his loincloth before the Lord. Keep your clothes on. The sort of joy where you just don't care what anybody else thinks. We live in this fear that, maybe people are watching me rejoicing and celebrating about Jesus. Last time I checked, the worship isn't for them. The worship's for Jesus. It's the only proper response to Jesus is joy. Come on, church. We joyful people this morning? Bit of work to do. But I think the reason for this is, I think the reason that some of us really struggle with this is because we're forgetting what Jesus has done for us. We just sometimes just go through the motions and just like get so fixated on what's next in our life, and we forget just to pause and go, wow, God is amazing. And he deserves all praise, honor, and glory and worship. We should be filled with real joy towards what he's done. You see, when you bring your eyes right back down and have them focused on Jesus, on the finished work of Jesus, and what it means for every one of us in this room and anybody watching online, joy is going to well up and overflow out of you, because that's the life that we're called to. Joy that abounds in all aspects of our life. So do you have joy today? Because every day I need to fix my eyes on Jesus. And when I don't, I start to freak out about all the million real things that are going on. And they are real things, don't get me wrong. Concerns about yesterday, concerns about tomorrow, maybe it's family struggle for you. I mean, all of this stuff is really real. It is. Health concerns, you fill in the blank. All these things are real. But it's just a reminder again that we need to focus our hearts on Jesus. And when our heart is focused on the Lord and what he's done, the fruit of the Spirit, that is joy, wells up within inside us. We were created for joy. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. And you know that joy acts as strength for us in the middle of some of the most hard things that are going on in life. And I'm not saying that you're to be happy all the time. Of course, there'll be moments when there's difficult moments in our lives. But joy should be the characteristic of who you are. Those moments should be the rare moments, not the joy moments being the rare moments. My encouragement would be that when you're not feeling joy, turn to God and look what he's done for you, and he'll give you the strength. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Don't miss this. This is quite significant because in the early church where this letter was written to, their joy came in the midst of some of the most adverse circumstances. All right? More than you could ever imagine. And that makes their joy somewhat unique. That they were persecuted by the Jewish leaders. They were persecuted by the Roman leaders. And literally for the first 300 years of Christianity, Christianity was systematically and brutally oppressed. This was long before it became the religion of the Roman Empire. That these people, they were the objects of the empire's anger. And see, we have the tendency to think that when things are good, I'll be happy. And when things are not good, I'm going to be miserable. And it's my God-given right to be miserable. I'm not so sure. Because God's joy blossoms in the most adverse circumstances. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount literally said, blessed are you when they persecute you. And when they are blessed to you, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. We would never think of that. We would never think that way, would we? Humanly speaking. But that's the mindset of Christ. It's the mindset of Christ. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that Jesus' work at the cross is finished. And no matter what the mess is going on, there is joy to be found in the presence of Jesus. Did you catch that? It doesn't mean that we have to be joyful about our hard situation. That is hard. I'm not downplaying that at all. But there is joy to be found in the presence of Jesus. So we want to be people who rejoice always. Now look at the next one, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. You're like, this series was called Thoughts and Prayers. Now we're finally talking about prayer. But I had this thought. Pardon the pun, but the other side of it was thoughts and prayer. So I think this helps us in our thinking of who Jesus is and how we live our lives, and then we look at prayer. Prayer is the word that we use for the conversation that God initiated with us through Christ Jesus. And you know that when you are conversing with someone, there's a connection, right? See, prayer is like the umbilical cord that we get to have with our relationship with God. It connects us to God. Prayer is so important. And when it says pray without ceasing, the idea of this is that we are in continual prayer. It's the ongoing reminder that God's children are always connected to Him, who we are dependent on. These guys, I'm not actually sure where they're from, but they've just brought an app in the last couple of years called Holy Hear. And what it is, it's a prayer walking app. So for those who like walking, I encourage you, while you walk, you should pray. You should pray. And what this app is, if you scan the QR, it'll take you to the website. You can download it on Apple and then that other thing. And it's prayer walking, all right? Prayer walking. It's an opportunity for us to be encouraged. That when you look on the maps, you can see where other people have been praying for communities. People have been praying for different churches. And that serves as a purpose just solely to encourage us to continue on praying for the places that we walk around. And I know a lot of you do walking. So if that's for you, then I encourage you to do that. And while you're out and about, you could be praying for the people in your neighborhood, the people that you rub shoulders with, or pray for the area in which you have an area of influence. But prayer. You know, one of the things I just said before was about it's that continual connection and conversation that ongoing between us and our Heavenly Father. One of the things I'm starting to really enjoy, I enjoy a lot of things about my kids, but one of the things I'm starting to really enjoy is that they're starting to get to the point where they just want to have conversations with you. And it's awesome. Some of the things they say is hilarious. But sometimes we have really great conversations. Our eldest daughter, Penelope, she's 7, and she's now got to the point where whenever her and I are in the car together alone, we have some great conversations. And the funny thing is, she'll be coming back from maybe like girls' rally or whatever it is. I pick her up. And honestly, I don't get a word in from when I pick her up to I get her home. She just wants to tell me every mortal detail. And I love that. I love that. It's like our relationship grows the more we talk. Crazy that thought, isn't it? That's a crazy thought, isn't it? That the more we talk, our relationship grows. We have with guys here this morning from Family Life who did the marriage course with us yesterday. Super thankful for them. Communication, so important in our relationships, right? But amazing that our relationship just seems to grow even more the more we talk. Made me think about my relationship with God. That's what God wants from us. To be in continual conversation with Him. Now, I think it's important for you to understand this, that continual prayer is not the same thing as being in a perpetual quiet time. Okay? There's something to be said about being alone with the Father. 100%. Jesus modeled that to us, right, in Scripture. And that we need to get away from the busyness of life and spend alone time with the Father. That's so, so important. But what I'm talking about here is that idea that we have a heart that is in continual communion with God. You may know people like this, I'm not sure, but I certainly do. And I describe them as people who walk in the Spirit. What Scripture describes is people who walk in the Spirit. Because you'll be talking to them and then all of a sudden they'll just rip out in prayer halfway through the conversation. And I just go, wow, like that just blows me away. That they're so connected to God, that it doesn't matter if they're in mid-flight conversation, they'll just start praising God. I had a spiritual mentor who would midway through a conversation, he would just break out in prayer and start thanking God for the situation that we were in and asking Him to continue to bless what God is doing here. And you know what that did? That just really modeled to me that continual prayer in everyday life is so, so important. But again, for many of us, what we do is we separate this out from God. And what we do, we try to attack the things that we go on in our life and we do, oh, I can do this by myself. You know, I'll turn to God for the big things, but everything else in life, I'll just do that by myself. And when it comes times to trouble, we get on that walkie-talkie to God and we're like, shh, we need you, God. It's wartime. It's wartime. But I think a lot of us are probably struggling in that area. That quiet times are going great, but I hardly talk to God any other time in the day. Listen, if you want to take anything from this Thoughts and Prayer series, maybe your goal is this, that I just want to do a better job of having a heart for prayer. Here's how you do it. When you're in the car, turn off the political talk on the radio. It's only aggravating you anyway. It's not causing rejoicing. Stop scrolling on social media. There's never been one person in my life that I've met who said when they've scrolled through social media that they feel fantastic after it. Philippians 4 verse 8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Politics are not praiseworthy. They're important, not praiseworthy. Social media, not praiseworthy. Not so sure if it's important. But that sort of stuff just robs our joy. It just sucks the life out of us. Can we just be honest this morning? That stuff is just joy killing us at times. And do you know why? Because it's not centered on Christ. It's not centered on Jesus. And the only way that these people make money is that the more we click on it and the more we listen to this stuff. But instead of doing that, why don't we turn off the radio? Why don't we spend less time on social media and say, oh Lord, I'm here with you right now. I just want to walk with you and I want to talk with you. Lord, all the people that I've just met, I just want to pray a blessing on them. The people that I just drove past, keep your eyes open, pray for them. Lord, will you bless them? Bless their families. Lord, we just want to take a moment now just to bless what you're doing in this community. I want to pray for my husband. I want to pray for my wife. What you're doing in the lives of my kids. What you're doing and what you have for me, Lord, in ministry. What you want me to do. Sometimes we just walk through life and we just miss these sorts of connections that we can have with God. One of the things that I just love how Sarah models to our kids is that when we're walking along and we see a lovely tree and she'll just go, thank you, God, for the beautiful tree. I just love that. I love that. That we're taking time just to notice what's going on around us and thanking God for how good and faithful he is. Amen? This is the heart that God wants for us. That we would always be connected with him in our hearts. That we would always have in our minds that we're with God. And that we're listening for his still, small voice. You know, the armor of God in Ephesians 6 verse 18, it says, and the Spirit, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Jesus wants us to be praying all kinds of prayers on all occasions in supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Do you understand that? That God wants you to be praying for all the followers of Jesus. Do you know how many Christians there are in the world? A couple of billion? That'll keep you busy in your prayer life. So the question this morning, how is your prayer life with God? I'm not talking about your quiet time. That's really important. Keep doing that. That's important. But how's your continual connection with God through prayer going? Are we just bringing him into the conversation during the day? For me, that was one of the things I used to, you know, beat myself up so much because I felt like I wasn't spending three times daily in prayer just like Daniel. But one of the things I found was that I would pray in the morning when I get up and I pray before I go to sleep. But as I'm going by my day, I just talk to God. I just talk to God and I just felt his Spirit so close to me. I would enter into conversations and God's Spirit would just give me exactly what it is I needed for that moment because I was feeling like I was constantly talking with him. And one of the reasons why I learned that was, do you remember the story of Nehemiah in the Bible? Remember Nehemiah? He was the cupbearer to the king. Now, the cupbearer sounds like some sort of flash job, but it really wasn't, if you think about it. It was actually a really horrible job because people were always trying to kill the king. And one of the ways that they would kill the king is by poisoning their drink. So as your job as the cupbearer, you know it could be pretty disastrous. And he was the taste tester, horrible job. Don't think he applied for it. He probably got picked for it. But the problem is this, that he was not only, he could be killed as a cupbearer, but often he was so close to what was going on in and around the king. And back in the biblical times, and if we read this in scripture, those kings were insane. The kings of today are a bit insane too, but the king, they were absolutely nuts. If they were having a bad day, they would just try to kill everybody. And you're like, oh, come on, that's a bit far-fetched. Read history. That's the way it was. So Nehemiah, he heard about what was going on and things were not getting, weren't going so well. And this was after the exiles had come back from the Babylonian exile where the Medo-Persians had conquered the Babylonians. And he heard about that people were going back and they were suffering and there was no temple for them to worship. The city was in despair and they were so grieved. Nehemiah was so upset about what was going on and frustrated. He went before the king and he wasn't able to compose himself. And the king looked at him and goes, "What's wrong with you? What's going on?" And Nehemiah, he got terrified. And because you're not supposed to be grumpy in the presence of the king, you're not even supposed to smile. You only need to speak when you're spoken to. And it says in this really briefly, but this is so important. Just before Nehemiah spoke, he prayed. He prayed and then he spoke to the king. I learned a lot from that. Now, you ever think about that? It wasn't like, "King, hold on, I'm just going to have a quiet time and then I'm going to come back and talk to you." No. He just shot up an instant prayer to God and then he continued his conversation. And what actually happened was the king then became on to be a great ambassador for the children of Israel to go back into the land and help rebuild everything. But because Nehemiah was in that constant prayer and he sought God before he spoke, man, there was so much stuff just to learn from that one simple encounter. So church, let's be a church that's always connected to God. And that's even right now, any moment in our life, in the quietness of our heart. And if you're writing down notes or taking notes today, say this: Lord, cultivate in me an ever-present relationship with you. Cultivate in me an ever-present relationship with you. Let our connection be with him all the time. So we see joy abounding. We see connected, always connected. Then look at verse 18. It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, this has been touched on over the last couple of weeks with Jake's sermon 2 weeks ago and Isaac's sermon last week. But because it was in today's passage, I wanted to do honor to just speak to this as well. Cultivating thankfulness, right? In everything we give thanks. That's really important to note here. It does not say give thanks, for everything give thanks. Because that would be inhuman. It's hard to give thanks for everything because some of the stuff that goes on is so heartbreaking. So atrocious. How are we to give thanks for it? And some of us have experienced those types of tragedies. And the Apostle Paul, who was inspired by the Spirit, he's not asking for you to say, "God, thank you for that." Because certain things that we've experienced are so heartbreaking, it goes completely beyond God's intention for what he had for us. But it does say, in everything, give thanks. So you could say to the Lord, "Lord, I can't believe what's going on. I'm really struggling. But in the middle of this, I trust you. I trust you. I trust that you're working. I trust that you have a plan." And when you come to a place that you know that Jesus is real and the reality of who Jesus is in your life and what he's done for you, when you understand that fully and you've grasped that I believe that no matter what comes our way, we can begin to thank God in every situation because we can trust him that something beautiful can come from something horrific. And in the scripture we read that, "Lord, only you can restore the years that the locusts have eaten." That's how the Bible speaks of it. When the locusts were there in the field and there was a complete famine and it crushes people's ability to stay alive because there was no food. And it says that God can restore the years that the locust has eaten. God can do something beautiful. God can make dry bones live again. Do we believe that this morning? He can bring beauty out of a desert situation. And when it comes to the place where we allow God to cultivate thankfulness in the middle of these situations, this is God's will for us. It's a reminder, of course, in Romans 8:28, which has already been quoted, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. And we know that this settled understanding, not that we hope that if we're lucky, But no, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even though the situation is really difficult, God can work through that situation and bring good from it. Now, I know in your head you might be going, well, I'm currently in a situation and that just seems impossible to me. And you're not going crazy. You're totally right. I'd say you're right. Because with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that's where the place where God wants you and I to walk in, to believe that wholeheartedly. Live not being limited by human understanding, not be limited to what mankind thinks is possible, because what we're doing is we're stepping into the unlimited reality of who Jesus is and what he's done. That's God's will for us. Now that we give thanks for everything, we say, Lord, only you know how to bring something beautiful out of this. We believe that there's many, I believe right now that there's many of you now that you can't even fathom how that could work together for your good. But my encouragement this morning is to seek God and watch and see what he can do. I just want to invite the worship team up. You know, we say things like hindsight is 20/20, right? When you look back on situations and you see everything clearly, it makes sense why it happened and what happened. Didn't enjoy it, but I know why. It's hard to see that. And I believe as Christians, because of Romans 8:28, we should have foresight that is 20/20. We say, Lord, I don't get this, I don't understand this, but I know that you're working something out of here that I can't humanly understand. But will you allow God's Spirit to cultivate thankfulness in your heart by saying, Lord, I know that you're doing something. I don't understand it right now. I don't even like it, but I trust you. I believe you. Lord, can you help me in my unbelief? My unbelief. And church, if we can take steps in this direction for Jesus, living out his will for our lives, I truly believe God will do something unlike you've ever imagined. It won't change your circumstances and what's going on. And he may change those circumstances. I will give thanks for that. But I know for years there's been situations where I've been praying for and the things haven't changed. And I'm like, God, what are you trying to teach me here? What's happening here? But what I've come to learn is that I can still have joy even in the most difficult moments because of who Jesus is. And when I sit in his presence, those things just seem to disappear. But when I walk out and I'm not in his presence, they're still there. I'm not going to get up here and say there's some magic formula that we can do. But we do believe in a supernatural God who can choose that and change those situations in our lives. But what we need to learn is that we can rest in the love of God, in the presence of God, to know that there is still joy to be found in the middle of the most hardest situations. Because here's the reality. Our circumstances, they're temporary. But where our soul goes is eternal. These things that are breaking our heart. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, I'm not minimizing the sufferings of the present time because they are real. But Jesus is more real than our sufferings. God is extending a hand that is saying, come on, I'm going to be able to pull you up right now and set your feet upon solid foundation. Your house may continue to get weathered. It may continue to get beaten, but I'm going to help you stand in the midst of the storm. And in a really messy world, church, this is the gospel of Jesus. That he's asking us to step out in God's will for our lives with joy abounding, always connected, and the ability to cultivate thankfulness in our hearts in the midst of hard times. I don't know about you, but I feel like that's the sort of follower of Jesus I want to be. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you're in Christ, I want you to say now, if you feel God is speaking to you, Lord, just work those things in my life so that I can live that way. Will you work them into my life by your Spirit And I know that he's here with us. He's here with us right now. And the invitation goes for you this morning that if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, then I'm telling you that if you want to live in such a way that you're joyful, you're connected, and you're thankful in all circumstances, the only way that we can truly possibly do that is in Jesus. Is in Jesus. And he's inviting you into a relationship with him. Jesus is inviting you into that experience that we're talking about, and that experience that goes past everything that we can humanly think of, the joy that abounds in us. No matter where we are, there's always a listening ear through Jesus. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He's inviting us into the opportunity to be thankful in all circumstances. And then you can sing and mean it. That it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. I want to encourage you this morning to live a life that is devoted to these things. And when I answered that question at the very start, what is God's will for my life? I believe these are the things that he has for us in order for us to live like him. But the overarching thing that I talked about at the very start was to share the good news of Jesus. I want to tell you that I've devoted my life to being able to share the good news of Jesus with people. And I want to continue to do that, but I want to continue to be to enjoy, always connected to him, and to be able to give thanks in all circumstances. Because outside of Jesus, this is impossible. But in Christ, because of the Spirit of God, because of the finished work of Jesus, because God's love surpasses all understanding. No matter how much time you read your Bible, no matter how much time you follow Jesus, all of the time that you've dedicated to that, we can never fully understand God's amazing love and grace toward us. He's just that incredible. Amen? That's the most amazing thing. That if you've not said yes to Jesus, he wants that for you as well. You're invited. You're invited. Why don't we stand? We're going to pray. We're going to talk to him. Maybe just if we have our eyes closed, heads bowed, free from distraction, we just want to pray. If you're here this morning and you want to live a life that is committed to the things that we've described this morning, joyful, always connected, thankful in all circumstances, and what we've described this morning is that you can have that relationship with Jesus, then I want to pray a prayer this morning. And if you believe in your heart that this is what you want, and this is what you believe that Jesus died for you, that he is risen again, then I encourage you to pray along with me. And maybe just as a way of encouragement for everyone, why don't we all say this together? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that this morning, then please don't leave here this morning without coming to talk to us. There'll be a team down the front at the end of the service. We'd love to pray with you and journey with you and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And maybe just for the rest of us right now, I just want again, just so that you're freed from distraction, just close your eyes, bow your heads. And if you feel like this morning that God has been speaking to you about how you live your life for him, then I just want to pray over you this morning that you will experience his presence first and foremost, and that out of that we can be people that are full of joy, always connected and thankful in all circumstances. And maybe as an act of a posture of surrender, if you feel comfortable, why don't you stretch out your arms and receive what God has for you this morning by the power of his Spirit. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves his children so much. Lord, I pray this morning for each and every person in the posture of surrender this morning that your Spirit will just fill us afresh, that we will know that you are here with us. And we thank you by the power of your Spirit that you can change our lives. And we are so grateful for what Jesus has done for us and what that means for our lives. That you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for us and in place for us so that we could have a relationship with you, God. Lord, I'm sorry if we've ever took our eyes off that. I'm sorry, Lord, that we get so distracted with what's going on in our lives. These things that are hard, don't get me wrong, they're hard, they're difficult. But Lord, the most important thing in our life is our relationship with you. Lord, may we be people that can cultivate joy like no other. That when we are in the presence of God, we express joy, undignified, the sort of joy that doesn't care what anybody else thinks, because you're worthy of all that praise. We pray that for ourselves this morning, that Lord, we will receive your Spirit in that way. Lord, I pray that we will be people who are always connected, not just fixate just on a quiet time, as much as that's important, but we will always be connected in continual conversation with you, God. And Lord, will you help us that in the midst of hard times, that you will cultivate in us a heart that is able to give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, right now across this room, there's many people who are going through hard times. And we just pray by the power of your Spirit that they will be freed from whatever it is this morning that they need to be freed from. Lord, that you will help them to be able to see that there is joy in Jesus, even in the middle of the hardness. So Lord, we thank you and give you praise for what you're doing in our community. We thank you that you are the leader of this church. And we lift your name above all names, who is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Lord, I pray this morning that we are able to sing with our hearts that it is well with my soul. We bless your name, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content, but thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.